There was an email which I saw today that came out from the OU, in which they posed the question to Rav Schechter as to whether one is allowed to listen to music during Sfiras HaOmer in the present context, given that obviously it's an extenuating circumstance in which people are more isolated than usual and it causes added stress. And Rav Schechter said that the prohibition against listening to music is only a minhag, and therefore the minhag was never intended to apply in this kind of circumstance. So I'd like to elaborate upon this a little bit in order to present, I think, a more expanded version of why this, from my perspective, makes a lot of sense. And with that, to give some highlights about the minhag that we have nowadays in many circles, not to listen to music generally, and then talk about, again, our situation. So first of all, let's talk about Sfiras HaOmer in most general terms. What is the basic sense of avelus, or the parameters of avelus, of mourning that we have during Sfiras HaOmer? So actually, in the Shulchan Aruch, we only find two customs that come up. That is, not to have a wedding and not to get a haircut. And the various different minhagim exactly when that is, you know, for how long you have these customs. But in any case, those are the two minhagim which are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, and nothing more than that. In fact, just to illustrate the limitations on the prohibitions of avelus during the time of Sfiras HaOmer, I'll just note that there are those poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein says this, there are those poskim who say that the prohibition against marriage is not about attending a wedding per se, it's about getting married during Sfiras HaOmer. So, for that reason, Rav Moshe says that if an individual were invited to a wedding, and the person who was getting married, let's say, is getting married during a time that it's permissible for him or her to get married, because they have a certain, you know, time frame of Sfiras HaOmer, and that time frame, you know, they're getting married outside of that time frame of avelus for Sfiras HaOmer. But for that other person, let's say, for example, one person is keeping the minhagim of avelus after Lag BaOmer, and the other person is not. So the person gets invited to this wedding, and he or she is keeping the minhagim of avelus, of Sfiras HaOmer. So are they allowed to attend the wedding? And Rav Moshe says the answer is yes, because from his perspective, the halacha that against having a wedding during the time of avelus on Sfiras HaOmer is not again about attending the wedding, but it's about actually getting married. So right there, this, you know, starkly, in a very vivid kind of way, shows us that these are not regular conventional minhagim of avelus. They didn't take the halachas of avelus and apply them to Sfiras HaOmer. Not at all. We assume that these minhagim of avelus are very limited. They apply to certain specific kind of prohibitions which they instituted in regard to Sfiras HaOmer. And this would be a very strong illustration of this, because obviously if a person's in real avelus, they can't attend a wedding. And here we're saying during the time of avelus, the person would be able to attend a wedding. Okay, that's just an illustration of this. So now, what other halachos do we have? What other sources do we have that indicate that possibly we should refrain from, you know, an abundance of joy during Sfiras HaOmer? So the other halachos which are mentioned, and again, of course, all of this has to do with avelus mourning over the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. So we know that the Torah tells us that a person is supposed to limit simcha during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. That's all it mentions. It just mentions something about limiting simcha. It doesn't go into details as to what a person is supposed to do. And that's all. So far we have the Torah, which precedes the Shulchan Aruch, telling us we're supposed to limit simcha. That actually is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch itself. But we do have these two minhagim. And then we find the following, that there's a Magen Avraham, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, who says that we should not be involved in rikudim u'mecholot shebashus. A person should not have dancing, which is shebashus, which means to say, as contrasted, shel mitzvah, it means that it's something which is optional or it's something of a mundane character, that a person should not be involved in rikudim u'mecholot shebashus. So some of the poskim took this and said, oh, so rikudim u'mecholot shebashus, this is prohibited. You're not allowed to have dancing, which is not related to a mitzvah. So the same is true in regard to music as well. The Minchas Yitzchak makes this argument that, you see, he thought from a couple of Achronim that they seem to assume that this was broadened to music as well. Now, that's not explicit, and we don't find a formal kind of, application to simcha, but he says that we find in these sources that they seem to assume and apply to music as well. As a tshuva by Rav Moshe seems to assume, in a very brief, tshuva, that he seems to assume that, again, that music is prohibited during the time of Sfiras Omer. But it's not really from the previous, you know, the sources. It didn't say this. It was talking about Rikud and Mecholos. It was talking about actually dancing. To further emphasize the limitations, we shouldn't think that, that there's this atmosphere of Avelus during the time of Sfiras Omer, which is important for context in terms of analyzing this issue. It's important to note that, for example, Rav Vad Yosef has a tshuva about whether a person is allowed to do construction during Sfiras Omer. In this case, he's talking about construction, which is what we call binyan shel simcha. It's something which is optional, right? It's in order to expand the house, to make a house look nicer. It's not because of the fact that, you know, chas v'sham, the person's wall fell down or the roof fell down or something like that. It's not necessary for living purposes, per se. And we find in regard to the 3 weeks and the 9 days that there is such a prohibition against binyan shel simcha. So Rav Vad Yosef has a question as to whether this same prohibition applies here as well. And he says the answer is no, that Sfiras Omer is very different than the time of the 3 weeks. The time of the 3 weeks, the time which is identified with Avelus, right? It's a time of Tzara for Klal Yisrael. The time of Sfiras Omer is a time when actually, he quotes the Ramban al Torah, the Ramban says, this is a time which is kind of like a Chol Hamoed. It's a time of anticipation, excitement, when Klal Yisrael is looking forward. We count from, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, we're looking forward to Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, if anything, according to this Ramban, that is considered like a kind of Chol Hamoed, we would think that Sfiras Omer would be a time of happiness, again, and of anticipation. So, therefore, you can't characterize Sfiras Omer as a time of Avelus. What we do say is that because of the death of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, therefore they instituted certain practices of Avelus in order to remind us, you know, to mourn and to think about how they fell short and why they fell short. And we obviously are supposed to try to correct those shortcomings. Similarly, just again to illustrate that we have this fundamental distinction between Sfiras Omer as opposed to the 3 weeks and the 9 days, there's a question as to whether you're allowed to purchase things during Sfiras Omer, whether you're allowed to make a shachiyonu during Sfiras Omer. So the Mishneh Berurah mentions that if something comes along and you purchase something, you're allowed to make a shachiyonu. That's the lashon of the Mishneh Berurah, something about you can make a shachiyonu. It sounds as if, when you first read the Mishneh Berurah, that you should really try to avoid it, and if it comes up, then it's permissible. But it's pointed out by later poskim that if you take a look at the source for the Mishneh Berurah, it's the Sefer Ma'amar Mordechai, one of the Achronim. The Ma'amar Mordechai actually was matir, saying Shechiyonu during Sfiras Omer, totally, absolutely, lechatchila. He actually says that people make a mistake and they mix up the Avelus of the 3 weeks and 9 days with Sfiras Omer, and they think that Sfiras Omer is the same. And the Marma Mordechai says that this is absolutely not true, that the two don't share common ground. As we've noted now, the time of the 3 weeks and the 9 days, the time which is identified with Avelus, you know, and there are those Soloveitchik would talk about how it corresponds, you know, to Avelus of Yod Beis Chodesh and of Shloshim and of Shiva, etc. It really takes on, right, the parameters and the definition, the character of Avelus, as opposed to Sfiras Omer, which is not a time of Avelus intrinsically, but rather we keep certain practices of Avelus during this time, limited practices of Avelus. So the Ma'amar Mordechai points this out. There's a fundamental distinction between the two of them. The Ma'amar Mordechai says, therefore, that Shachiyonu during Sfiras Omer is absolutely mutter. It's only during the time of the 3 weeks that the Shulchan Aruch says that you should not say a Shachiyonu. You should avoid saying a Shachiyonu. But he says that does not apply, says the Ma'amar Mordechai, to Sfiras Omer. So, based upon this, first of all, we see that it's mutter lechatchila to say a Shachiyonu during the time of Sfiras Omer. And Poskim also point out that there's a common mix-up in regard to this, which has been perpetuated, that And this is something which poskim, until you'll find references to this until nowadays. It's so interesting. Imam Mordechai was complaining that people get the 3 weeks, the 9 days mixed up with Sfiras Omer. They think that Sfiras Omer has the same parameters. And he said that that's not true. And somehow this has persisted over the course of time. So, in regard to buying things during Sfiras Omer, people ask, are you allowed to buy new clothing, for example? Are you allowed to buy a new item during Sfiras Omer, something nice? So if you take a look, some of the later poskim that discuss this point out that the answer is basically yes. There's nothing mentioned which prohibits this. Of course, during the 3 weeks, the 9 days, you know, without going into the details, yes, there are restrictions in terms of purchasing new things, especially during the 9 days. But during Sfiras Omer, where does it say anything about a prohibition against purchasing things? It doesn't say anything. El what, if you take a look, there's a tshuva by Rav Avadya Seif, who mentions that there are a couple of isolated achronim, and not well-known achronim. In other words, the most have not really heard of, who said that they had a custom in certain places not to buy clothing, something along those lines. But if you take a look at all the primary sources, absolutely nothing is mentioned regarding this. If you take a look at the Mishneh Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chayodam and the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, etc., all these poskim do not mention anything about a problem buying things during the time of Sfiras Omer, and even if it would require Shachiyanu, according to what we've said now, a Shachiyanu would be Mutar L'Chatchila. Right? That's why I always tell people when they ask me about buying things, I say, if you want to keep the custom, which is mentioned in some isolated lachronim, go ahead and keep it. But if there's a real need for it, then it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to be machmir, because there's no real prohibition against buying things during Sfiras Omer, even if it will require a shechiyanu. So this obviously, again, is part of this context in which we're seeing that Sfiras Omer is not of a time of avelus be'atzem, you might say intrinsically, but rather it's a time when we keep certain practice of avelus. What do we have so far? Let's keep track. So we have the two minhagim which are mentioned explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, not to get married or not to have a wedding, however you want to define that exactly, not to get a haircut during certain times, and also, we saw that more broadly, the Torah said that you should try to avoid excessive simcha during the time of Sfiras Omer. And from there, apparently, the Magen Avraham said that we say, okay, rikudim chol l'shavashuas, a person should avoid that. And then the question comes up as to whether we extend that, to music in general as well. So, that is a question in and of itself. In other words, it's, is that really true that we extend it necessarily to music? And especially when it's recorded music. Because obviously there's a fundamental difference between dancing, which is, you know, a person having, actually physically dancing, right? You know, and getting excited about something, as opposed to listening to recorded music in and of itself. Especially because recorded music obviously was something which didn't exist, you know, until relatively recent times. So what you have is some poskim who say, no, but this was assumed to be the minhag, that we're strict in regard to this as well, and we assume that a person should not be listening to, recorded music as well. So, I heard once Ravard Soloveitchik that he said he didn't think that there was such a, you know, that you could assume that there was necessarily a minhag in regard to this, that, you know, that a person would have to bring a raya that there was a minhag. Again, I guess that's what you would call debatable as to whether there was such a minhag or not. Again, that's something which is discussed. Maybe there was some kind of extension. Even in regard to this minhag, you find that there are those poskim, more contemporary poskim, who make distinctions. It's not be'etzem that it's osir per se. For example, some poskim will say that it's mutter b'makom mitzvah. That's even though generally we don't keep this in America, but there are poskim who say that the Magen Avraham said it's rekudim chol shereshus, which were prohibited. But if it's something which is for the sake of a mitzvah, like for example, it's there are those who are mekil, even though in America we generally do not do this, but for a bar mitzvah, hachnas is sefer Torah. Then they would allow, actually, even rekudim mecholos and the music that would accompany it as well. There is such a base in halacha. Again, it's just requires one reading the Magen Avraham as saying that he only prohibited rekudim mecholos shereshus, dancing, which was, which was not related to a mitzvah, but if it relates to a mitzvah, then maybe it would be permissible. As well, some of the poskim point out that if it's an extension of Rekudim Cholos, if the whole prohibition against music is an extension of Rekudim Cholos, then slower music should be permitted. That's mentioned in the name of a number of poskim. And obviously the logic, I think, is extremely compelling, because, the whole problem was the sense of simchi yisera. But if a person is listening to slower music, which is more, let's call it inspirational, and is not going to get a person uplifted and make a person dance, it's not associated with dancing whatsoever. So a very strong logic from my perspective that, that would be permissible. Again, there are poskim who make exactly this distinction as well. And for this reason, by the way, my sense always was that the distinction between, let's say, a cappella as opposed to other kinds of music is sometimes somewhat overestimated. Really, this shouldn't be, from my perspective, a fundamental difference between a cappella and other kinds of music. If the whole source for this custom was rikudim and mecholos, was dancing, so then if you have a cappella, which is lively and exciting and would be associated with dancing, so then that also should be prohibited because it's uplifting in that way, and causes this kind of simcha. If, however, you would have, by contrast, let's say, for example, music which is instrumental, which includes instruments as well, but it's slower music, that should be permitted, because it's not associated with Kudim Mecholos. In other words, what we would use the principle here of Zil Basar Taima, follow the logic behind the halacha. And therefore, there are poskim, again, who make this exactly this point, that we would say that slower music would be permitted as opposed to faster music, which would be prohibited. I will note also that some poskim say, and I thought that this was very logical as well, that if the music is background music, then it should be permitted. So if it's not, the person doesn't want to listen to music per se for the sake of listening to music, but it's accompanying some other kind of activity, so then logically you'd be able to argue that that's not like rikudim and mecholos, that's not like dancing, right? That shouldn't be considered an extension of dancing, because dancing is an activity which you're fully engaged in. Here, maybe listening to music, if you want to extend it to music, if already you say that, which again is debatable, but if you extend it to music, it's when you're engaged in the music. But if you're doing something else and the music's in the background, maybe that's considered permissible. I thought that that was very compelling. I found that, for example, Shmuel Kamenetsky says that if you're listening to background music, let's say, for example, as you're driving, you don't want to fall asleep. Very logical to me that that makes a lot of sense, that a person would be able to do that. And I also saw at one point in time that Moshe Feinstein was quoted as having said that as well, that if it's used for background, just as a person who's involved in another activity, so let's say, for example, a woman is involved in preparing something in the kitchen or doing something around the house, and she listens to music in the background, so then there would be an additional reason why possibly one would be make ill as well. Interestingly enough, this is something which I find interesting. What about, let's say, for example, using music for dancing purposes? So Rishmuel Kamenetsky is quoted as having said that would be permissible. He apparently understood that the music is not the ikar. The music is in order to provide like a certain beat or a certain pace for the exercise, and therefore would be considered permissible. I know that I've heard from some of Irabaim that they think that that actually is the problem, right? You're dancing to music. So then that's rikudim and mecholos. If you're dancing to music, right, or doing this exercise, maybe dancing to music is more of a problem actually. But if you're doing even exercise to music, that some might find this objectionable. But in any case, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky says that even that's permissible. Why? Because apparently he considers that like, background. You see over here that it's not something which is intrinsically prohibited per se, right? It's something which is prohibited because you can understand that even poskim who accept the basic premise that it's a problem will limit it in certain ways depending upon how the music is listened to. Some poskim will say that if it's slower music, it's permissible because it doesn't make you dance. Some will say that if it's not for the sake of listening to the music in and of itself, but it's serving as a backdrop for something else that you're doing, that would be considered permissible also. Now, with all of this in mind, I think it's a very, very, very strong case to allow listening to music, recorded music, during Sfiras Omer this year. That's my own take on things. People are under an enormous amount of stress. People feel cooped up. It's a you know, there's a sense of sometimes almost a kind of claustrophobia, not being able to get out. And this is something which is unusual. We also, I don't know if the studies have been done, but it's not something so simple for a person not to be able to have normal sense of, you know, open space and, you know, even the opportunity to be able to go out. In other words, that a person knows that one can go out generally, but here, you know, you feel as if there's this constraint which is keeping you inside because of this, lurking, you know, to put it simply, danger which is out there. And music, we know, can be helpful to people. And nowadays, there are people who are attached to certain kinds of music that are meaningful to them. And sometimes people like slow music, which certainly is a strong basis to allow, as we've talked about. But even fast music, based upon what we've seen, it's only a minhag. This is the basic point that's quoted from Schechter's point of view. It seems very difficult to actually substantiate that this is a clear extension from the halacha, that maybe there was a minhag, but it wasn't certainly part of the halacha beforehand, and that again, as I've noted, I think is somewhat debatable. I heard that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that it's not clearly, we don't have a clear minhag in regard to this. And in addition to that, some of the poskim pointed out that when you have a challenge of people possibly feeling down and chas v'shalom depressed, but even if it's not quite depressed, people are going to somehow, their mood is going to be affected negatively by not being able to listen to music. This is something that has to be taken into account. It's for this reason, by the way, there's a very fascinating discussion in a sefer called Eilehem Odai by Rav Elio Schlesinger, who's the Rav of Gilo in Yerushalayim, the section of Yerushalayim, the neighborhood called Gilo. So in any case, he in his sefer explains why, from his point of view, and he quotes many other rabbanim who he says agree with him as well, that from his point of view, that's why a from radio station in Eretz Yisrael is allowed to play music. And he says that it should be slower music, preferably, but it's allowed to play music during serious moment because he says that people are so dependent upon music, and otherwise people can feel very down if they're not able to listen to music. So he says that he thinks it's considered to be permissible. He has a whole long discussion in regard to this, and he notes that there are those who disagree with him, but he's very adamant that this is considered to be okay. So, in fact, he notes a very funny kind of story. He writes this in a letter to another Rav that he heard from someone that there was a one of these radio stations, these religious radio stations that was playing music, and a taxi driver picked up a couple of women from somewhere, and the women said, "Well, we hear this music playing. We don't want the music playing. Please turn it off. It's during serious moment." The taxi driver accommodated. So he turned off the music, and the taxi driver then told somebody else, and these two women spoke Lashon Hara the entire ride. Rav Schlesinger quotes this as an illustration where people get their priorities all mixed up, right? That in regard to something which is only a minhag, and he thinks really Mikra Adin is permissible, because it's so important to people and it wasn't really osur. And then on the other hand, in regard to something which is clearly osur, like Lashon Hara, people don't really think about it too much. So Rav Schlesinger is, again, someone who advocates for music being permissible. Again, of course, he's talking about slower music, preferably, as well. I'll give another example of this in a Sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag by Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp, a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Mordechai Karp, he mentions in his Sefer on this topic that really there's no explicit makor for this. He says, he acknowledged that explicitly, and he says, therefore, if you have someone who is prone to either depression or being nervous, anxious, he says that listening to music would be permissible. He says he heard this explicitly from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says that he hears that other Morei Horah, in general, are makil in regard to this. He means Morei Horah, of stature. So this is something you see. The poskim are saying that it's not something which is a formal prohibition per se. And for that reason, when there's a situation of need, these poskim are willing to be makil. Based upon all of the above, my sense is that this is something which is important for people, this year. I personally would feel that this is something which is important lechatchila. This is an unusual, unique kind of circumstance that people find themselves in, and keeping up the spirits and everyone in the family and trying to maintain a positive atmosphere in the home is something which is a critical need. And therefore, from my perspective, this is the mitzvah. This is music, l'shem mitzvah. So listening to music, which is wholesome, good music, listening to Jewish music, or if a person likes classical music, music which is uplifting. And even from my perspective this year, listening to faster kind of music, if that's something which a person feels is going to uplift their spirits, I think that this, is something which should be, not only permitted, but should be encouraged as well. In a sense, I'm not really saying anything new because it's Rosh Hechter already who said that it's mutter, but I just wanted to expand upon the topic and provide some context for this as well.